Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how you doing?
Well, you know, I'm poor and I could use a job. Do you think you could help me out there, Robbie?
Actually, my company is mainly hiring from India at the moment, so no.
Nerds. I suppose I'll just have to get a job at the local power plant instead.
Sure. We don't have a power plant, do we?
I don't think so, no.
But yes, before we get started, a couple things. Of course, if you like the show, please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. Really helps us out. It takes a few moments out of your day and gets more people to pay attention to us. And we definitely want that. Also, this special shout out for Izzy, supporter of the show. A happy anniversary to you and your lovely wife. Without further ado, this week's episode, Marge Gets a Job, episode 9F05, originally aired November 5th, 1992, written by Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein. Josh Weinstein. This is their first episode. They went on to be showrunners for seasons 7 and 8 and write a bunch of other episodes, my personal favorite seasons. So this is their first episode. They were not staff writers at the time. It's directed by Jeffrey Lynch. In its original broadcast, finished 25th in the ratings. Nielsen rating of 13.6, approximately 12.7 million viewing households. Highest rated show on Fox that week, beating Beverly Hills 90210 and Itchy and Scratchy the Movie, our last episode, which aired 2 days before, the election night special episode. The chalkboard gag, I will not teach others to fly.
See, that seems really selfish. If you know how to fly, you should be teaching it to everybody. That seems, rude.
I'm just curious what that means. How is Bart? Is he like, are they going on rooftops and he's just saying jump off? Because that's bad.
No, there's got to be some kind of trick to it, like pixie dust or tapping your shoes together. I'm sure there has to be.
Okay.
Because jumping off roofs don't work. I tried.
The couch gag is the family switches their heads around. Which, that's good. It's fun.
Creative. New.
Yeah, I like it. From watching season 4, this is the season where guest starring Tom Jones as himself. He does a fine job. It's not unusual, right?
Well, at this point, yeah. It's one of those things where The Simpsons are popular enough that if you were a hip celebrity, you could guest star and people would love you.
He's pretty good. I liked it. It fits in.
It does. It really does.
We get the episode begins with a retirement party. We learn that they're throwing the plant burns, etc. is throwing a retirement party for a guy. I've already forgotten his name. Do you remember his name, Matt?
I believe it was Mr. Jack Crowley,
Jack Crowley, okay. But at the same time, we've learned that the Simpsons have a foundation problem when Flanders walks by outside and he is at an angle.
That's good pipe weather. Thought he'd fire up the briar.
Exactly. You think that's out of character for Flanders to smoke a pipe?
I don't think so. There are lots of old men that smoke pipes just for fun.
That's true. He's an elderly gentleman. Homer, of course, before trying to get the foundation repaired by a professional, goes to a foundation repair video hosted by none other than Troy McClure.
The half-assed approach to foundation repair.
Hello, I'm Troy McClure. You might remember me from such instructional videos as Mothballing Your Battleship and Dig Your Own Grave and Save. Now, over the next 6 hours, I'll be taking you through the do's and do not do's of foundation repair. Ready?
Ready.
First, patch the cracks in the slab using a latex patching compound and a patching trowel.
Hand me my patching trowel, boy.
Now, do you have extruded polyvinyl foam insulation?
No.
Good. Assemble the aluminum J-channel using self-furring screws. Install.
What do I do
in case... After applying brushable coating to the panels...
Wait a minute.
You'll need some corrosion-resistant metal stucco lath.
Wait a minute.
If you can't find metal stucco lath...
Uh-huh.
Use carbon fiber stucco lath.
Oh!
Now barge the lath.
Those were words. Yep.
Well, they took from actual foundation repair instructions. So that's
that is insane.
Those are actual things. I recognize some of those words. Like, I know what aluminum J channel is. I've touched that before.
Of course, you would.
In my aluminum career, brief although it was. Of course. So Homer doesn't. He can't handle repairing it himself. He goes to Surly Joe's Foundation Repair. And he finds out it will cost, what is it, $7,500?
$8,500.
See, I'm wrong. $8,500, which, that's expensive, but it holds your house up, so I assume it would be.
Yeah, I was wondering, because as a kid, I wanted to do like, how do you fix a foundation without, like, removing the house? Because theirs was pretty bad.
In real life, it's not nearly as, you don't usually get that much of an issue. And I'm sure there's some kind of, like, winching involved.
Probably. Where
you get, you just lift up the house and repair it underneath. But regardless, Homer, of course, cannot afford that. He'll go to someone else. Unfortunately, Surly Joe is the only foundation repair company in town. The Yellow Pages. Bart takes advantage of this and opens up a little, carnival barker kind of sideshow.
Behold the horrors of the slanty shanty. See the twisted creatures that dwell within. Meet Q-Ball, the man with no hair.
Huh?
Ah! He's hideous!
I could just see me doing that to my dad at some point.
He's hideous. What's How I Miss TV, man?
Oh, when Homer's talking about if I wish I could retire.
Oh, yes. Marge suggests that she get a job to help pay for the foundation repair, and Homer dreams that yes, she would get a job and he would retire. He has a brief dream sequence in which he is doing the exact same thing he's doing, laying on the couch.
But out in the woods.
Out in the woods. They go to the retirement party that they hinted at the very beginning of the episode. It's in the Spruce Caboose, which is a crashed train car that has now become a dinner theater place, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they have decapitated ushers and stuff. It is a retirement party ostensibly for Mr. Crowley, but it is not too long before Smithers and Burns, they put the spotlight back on Mr. Burns.
There is a man, a certain man, a man whose grace and handsome face are known across the land. You know his name. It's Mr. Burns.
Mr. Burns.
He loves a smoke, enjoys a joke. Why, he's worth 10 times what he earns.
I'm Mr. Burns.
He's Monty Burns.
I'm Mr. Burns.
To friends he's known as Monty, but to you it's Mr. Burns.
Burns.
It's great. That song is just beautiful. Mr. Crowley, Jack. I keep wanting to sing Ozzy Osbourne. Jack Crowley.
By the way,
says
it's actually
he wants
Jake Marley. My bad.
Jake Marley. See, we all this time have been saying it wrong. Jake Marley. Yep. That's in that. I'm fairly confident that is an allusion to Christmas Carol.
If not, it'd be a weird coincidence.
Yeah, and. He wants to say a few words. Burns lets him. He's like, fine. Gosh. He begs for to keep his job. He doesn't want to retire. He has nothing else. He has no family. But Burns wants to hear nothing of it. He is played off like it's the Oscars when he's going on too long. But Burns, before they leave, announces an open job in Sector 7G. When they get back to the house, Marge tells Homer, well, maybe I should apply for that job. And Homer, he quotes the Bible, thou shalt not horn on thy husband's racket.
Where does the Bible say that? It's in there.
With that, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Marge typing up her resume, but it's a little bit sparse. Because basically Marge had, I think, a job in high school, and that was pretty much it. She shows it to Lisa, and Lisa says, no, I got this.
The only thing she lists is homemaker from 1980 to present.
I think so, yeah. I can't remember the exact year, but yeah, homemaker. But Lisa's like, no, they expect you to lie a little. So she adds a rather large amount of exaggerations.
Chauffeur, seamstress, curator of large mammals.
Marge, have you seen my lunchbox?
Oh, I see.
Mom, they expect you to lie a little.
Worked for the Carter administration.
Well, you voted for him twice.
Lisa, shh, someone might be listening.
How in the world do you vote for president twice? That's... Okay, sure, if you say so.
No, I want to say that she voted for him in six successive elections. right?
Oh, that joke makes so much more sense now. Okay, sorry.
Yes.
I'm thinking Marge is some kind of scofflaw that voted twice in the same election. No, she's saying that she voted for Carter in the second election when Reagan beat him. Okay.
Yes.
And then she's scared the Republican Party will come to get her.
Yes, exactly. I believe that is what
they're doing. Might happen.
Yeah, it might, you know, never know.
But they go with this, and Marge goes to the interview with Smithers, who has apparently all of the HR department for the power plant. He's very impressed by her resume, which... I feel like Smithers, at this point, should probably be relieved. He's like, oh, well, Homer Simpson's a moron, but apparently his wife is brilliant. So that makes more sense. So I think it's a little subtext where Smithers is like, oh, this makes so much more sense now why there's an idiot and a smart person in the same family. But when Smithers sees her resume, he's like, this is very impressive. And then he speaks Swahili to her. And Marge goes, what? And luckily, Smithers just plays it up. Oh, I guess your Swahili is better than mine. And then immediately announces to the crowded waiting room that the position has been filled. So poor Mr. Jack Marley, who was attempting to get his own job back, is told to bugger off.
Oh, poor Mr. Marley.
So then Smithers immediately takes Marge, same day, I guess, to where she's going to be working, where there's a random piece of industrial machinery that Marge doesn't know how to work. And when she asks, apparently she designed it, according to her resume.
Yeah, she invented the machine.
And when she presses a button, it immediately sets something on fire. Something explodes, and you see people running down the hall on fire. So probably best to leave that alone, Marge. Just a little tip there. Try not to kill people on your first day.
I would say first week.
Okay, maybe first week. Yeah, that's true. After just that, you can do it.
Keep your head down for a little bit of time, and then, you know, slowly start killing people.
But then we actually cut to that night where Homer is expounding upon his lack of desire to work with Marge. He says he's going to see her all day at work and then all night at home, and which is a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Look at this. Canada hold referendum, which is the best cover-up ever. Good job, Homer. And then Lisa thinks it's romantic. They'll be working together and cites Marie and Pierre Curie, which and how they died, which, just so you know, they worked with, I believe it was radon. Correct, Robbie? The Curies worked with?
I think so.
Okay.
And they died of radiation. My vague recollections of science history is, yes, they worked with radiation, they learned a lot, and then they died.
Yep, they died from said same radiation. So sacrifices in the name of science.
Bart imagining them as giant kaiju monsters.
Yeah, when you say died Japan, from radiation poisoning.
Yeah, in Japan, for some reason they're in Japan. It's delightful. It's great.
To be fair, they may not be in Japan. It just could be a Japanese policeman in an American city that speaks Japanese.
The bad dubbing was there as well. It's only a little bit, but I think the bad dub, I think it's purposeful. You know, it's Tokyo. That's,
yeah. I gotcha. But of course, Homer, the next day, is giving Marge a little bit of advice about how to get by at the power plant.
Now, Marge, just remember, if something goes wrong at the plant, blame the guy who can't speak English. Ah, Tibor, how many times have you saved my butt?
Great advice, Homer. Fantastic.
Poor Tibor.
Poor Tibor. Well, as we'll see later, Tibor, he's okay. He gets by.
Yeah, he's all right.
But we see that because Marge is working, that Grandpa is taking care of the kids. And he is babysitting Maggie. And Maggie would like, a toy. But poor Grandpa, he just doesn't understand and thinks something might be wrong with her.
Do you have dropsy? The grip? Scrofula? The vapors? Jungle rot? Dandy fever? Poor man's gout? Housemaid's knee? Climatic boobo? The staggers? Dum-dum fever?
Oh, old-timey people and your weird...
book. I remember I'm listening to a commentary at some point on one of the DVDs where they found this book from like the 19-teens, and it had a list of all these old-timey like words and references and stuff.
That's true.
I need to find that book.
I'm sure every one of those diseases has a real like scientific name, but that's just what people called them. And I think nowadays, because of more mass media, people are more apt to call them by their, you know, scientific name or whatever. But back then, it's like, yeah, the dropsy, booba. I would really like to know what booba is, to be honest.
Yeah. Booba.
Yeah. Then we cut to Bart, who is in school, and basically it's time for a test, and Bart pretends to be sick. You know, he's a kid. He's done it. and he gets out of the test because Mrs. Krabappel, you know, you're not allowed to just ignore a sick kid. You got to send him to the infirmary. And so Bart gets out of his test. We then cut back to Marge, who has apparently figured at least something out about her job. She's trying to fill out some paperwork. And Homer comes to take her to lunch. And she says, oh, let me just finish this paperwork. And Homer says, oh, dear, let's file this under R for arrivederci. And puts it in the tube and says, the tube will know what to do. And there's a great visual sequence of the tube, you know, flying through a pneumatic tube. If you ever go to the bank, it's the same kind of tube system they use there. But the plant apparently just flies out the back into the water output where a bunch of beavers are using it to build a dam. So that paperwork's gone forever. Sorry, Marge. You'll have to redo it. But then we cut back to Grandpa with Bart, who has apparently come to pick up Bart from school because he was sick, you know. You can hear the air quotes, I hope. But we get to see Grandpa once again applying some old-timey medicine to the kids.
Good news, boy! I found a pharmacy that carries leeches! Well, it wasn't exactly a pharmacy. More of a bait shop!
Look, Grandpa, I'm fine. I really don't need any more home remedies.
Oral thermometer, my eye! Think warm thoughts, boy, because this is mighty cold.
I really hope they sterilize that thermometer afterwards.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah, it's bad. Poor Bart. He got what he got what he deserved, essentially.
Well, we'll see. Not quite yet.
Eventually, he's going to get more than he deserves. But at this point, you know, I think he's been punished enough. But then we see the next day, Burns is watching all of his employees because, of course, there's security cameras everywhere at the plant, which we've seen on multiple occasions. But this time, he's just cycling through the different monitors, calling the people, let's see, jackanapes, lollygaggers, noodleheads. And then when he comes to Marge, he says enchantress because I guess she's the only attractive female that works there, which it's a nuclear power plant. Wouldn't surprise me, especially in the 90s.
Yeah, and the STEM fields are not quite representative even now of the true demographics. So I'm fairly positive they in the early 90s they were not as well.
Yeah, they're getting better, but still still need some work. But Burns, of course, his heart is pounding like a jackhammer because he's in love. And we get a great little zoom in on his heart, and it's a blackened husk, and it beats once slowly. And that is Burns' heart pounding like a jackhammer. He then attempts to zoom in on Marge to get closer to her. He goes, zoom in, closer, damn it. And eventually the camera hits Marge in the forehead. Which, that's a hell of a zoom on that camera. Apparently, yeah, it's right above her head.
That's quite a zoom.
And then Burns says, ooh, too close. And we cut to black.
Yeah, we come back. It's quite a long third act. That's Matt and I mentioned this before we start recording. But the first act is short. The second act is short. The third act, quite long. It's like probably three-fifths of the entire episode length, I want to say. Or maybe three-sevenths. How
it's close.
That?
I mean, it's dang near half the episode. But I mean, yeah, it's really the perfect way to chop it up, because if you try to chop it up in any other way, it doesn't really make sense. Like, the story would have to stop in the middle of something important. It just, sometimes you got to make sacrifices for the story to flow correctly.
Yeah, that's true. Burns gives Marge some gifts, and he explains that they do to all new employees, which I'm fairly certain they don't. Burns is lamenting the rest of his employees, and Marge is kind of concerned about morale. And so what she recommends is Funny Hat Day, which just leads to the crazy people and the depressed people wearing funny hats as they continue the same behavior. It's at this point that Marge gets a promotion and gets Smithers' office. And Smithers, I guess, now has to clean the bathroom? Or is he now his office is the bathroom, so he wants it clean?
We never really made clear, but yeah. Either way, he has to clean things, which is bad. Sucks to be
him. Yeah, Smithers is cleaning urinal, and then Homer bursts in just to soil it, unfortunately.
No!
No! Bart is continuing to cry wolf. Homer is upset about Marge's promotion.
I'm used to seeing people promoted ahead of me. Friends, co-workers, Tibor. I never thought it'd be my own wife.
Well, maybe you'd get promoted if you worked a little harder.
Are you kidding? I work like a Japanese beaver.
Oh, really? I came to see you three times today. Twice you were sleeping, and once you were kicking that ball of electrical tape around.
Well,
I won't sleep in the same bed with a woman who thinks I'm lazy. I'm gonna go right downstairs, unfold the couch, unroll the sleeping bag. Good night.
Homer's too lazy to be angry.
That's right. Oh my gosh. That's just a Japanese beaver. Apparently, Japanese beaver was hardworking.
Japanese beaver. And to be fair, Marge is pretty honest. I mean, there's a reason I think everyone gets promoted to have Homer is that he's lazy, doesn't do much work. But Burns is talking about Marge, about that she was in his dream last night, and Smithers. We cut to what I assume is one of Smithers' dreams is when they fly in through the window, and we cut to a Smithers' dream where Burns is flying in through the window, which there is a bulge in the sheet that a lot of people make a lot out of.
Very obviously his knees.
It's his knee. People are stretching that too much. They have Country Western Day at the plant after Hat Day. They have they get their foundation repaired. Finally, Marge's job and the raise, I guess, gets them enough money that they can afford to fix their foundation.
And fairly quickly, too.
Yeah, Surly Joe, he's a good repairman.
Well, I just meant that she earned enough money really quickly to pay him off.
Like $8,500,
that takes some time to make.
Maybe they put it on a credit card and then they figured they got enough. I don't know.
Maybe.
She got a promotion. I'm assuming Burns is giving her a healthy paycheck just because... He likes her.
Probably.
Yeah. Joe tries to offer Homer a quick fix for their previous problem. Homer, not so receptive.
Oh, you know, the problem here was water leakage. If you just buy a 50-cent washer...
I've got a better idea. Get the hell out!
Look, I got some washers in my truck. I'll give you one.
Marge, get my gun.
Yeah, I would think that fixing the root of the problem would be part of the repair. Just throwing that out there.
He's trying to be helpful, but I'm not gonna, so you're on Homer's side? Is that what you're saying?
Well, not so much. I'm just saying that generally when someone comes to fix something like that for you, they fix the source of the problem and then what has happened because of the problem. So the fact that he fixed, you know, what happened, but didn't fix
he's not
why
a plumber.
It happened, he's a very
he's not,
bad foundation guy.
No, he's not a plumber. He's a foundation repair. He fixed their foundation. The plumbing leaking was the problem.
All right, fair enough. You're right.
Okay. Marge had previously mentioned that she enjoyed Tom Jones, which I think that is I can definitely see Marge liking Tom Jones. That seems like right in her wheelhouse. She's the perfect age to grow up with Tom Jones and idolize, you know, like him. So Burns decides to acquire Tom Jones to use his services at a private function for Marge and him, but Tom Jones doesn't do private parties, so Smithers kidnaps him with a poison gas, I guess, a knockout gas.
Well, what else would you do when your favorite celebrity doesn't want to come to dinner? You have to kidnap them. It's a moral imperative.
I guess that's true. Smithers, I think we have seen this side of Smithers before when he was acquiring those baseball players, I guess, but not... He didn't have to resort to knockout gas, I guess.
Yeah, luckily all of them said yes. I can only imagine what Smithers would have done had they said no.
Yeah. We find out that Bart is still trying to avoid taking his test. Kravapa lists the smallpox, the bends, Tourette's, or rabies. Rabies, Bart has like symptoms. He acts like he has symptoms of Tourette's, which rabies does cause similar symptoms, I think.
Well, it does. I believe the story I heard was that in the original broadcast, he said Tourette's, but in the DVDs and most of the syndication, they changed it to rabies because someone with the Tourette's syndrome, I guess, advocacy group complained, which I can definitely see.
I understand that. Yeah. That makes more sense now. At this moment, we cut to the Krusty the Clown show, in which he is being joined by some animal friends from a local zoo. Things don't go well.
Her claws are really digging into my skull.
She can crush clams with them.
Get it off.
Here we have an Alaskan timber wolf. He weighs 240 pounds and his jaws can bite through a parking meter. He does get spooked by loud noises.
Loud? That's our secret word for the day!
Oh my god!
Ah!
She must think you're after her eggs!
I only ate one!
But the Alaskan Timberwolf, which looks terrifying, they did a great job on the model for that because it looks like a monster. It is roaming free. The cops ignore it. And as Bart is out in the hallway taking his test, the wolf invades the school and attacks Bart. And he tries to fight it off. At the same time, Marge is in Mr. Burns' office where he has waxed his head. Which there's a lovely gag where he slides off his own head trying to, it's great. But he is perplexed to find out that Marge has a husband when he asks her if she wants, you know, will join him for a Tom Jones concert, a private Tom Jones concert. And she's like, no, I'm married. And Burns envisions like this handsome playboy who they are basically, you know, insulting Burns behind his back and they're using him. Marge is fired, and of course she's very upset about it, because, you know, she didn't do anything to be fired, except not like Burns. We cut back to school. Willie triumphantly saves the day. It's not the first time. You know, we get muscle-bound Willie, wrestling the wolf.
He's and so Bart, dreamy and Scottish.
He is. Bart turns in his test and promptly collapses. We see Grandpa escorting Bart home, and Willie is sitting outside the school with the wolf. Now they're buddies, I guess, after they've tussled. That's all.
That
it took.
Should be what happened. You should never fight a man you can't be friends with afterwards.
Or a wolf. And apparently, they had drawn three versions of beat up Bart, and they went with the least scary version, which is good because anymore it would have gotten more and more kind of horrific.
Yeah.
You got a little too real, I think. Burns is drawing on Marge on the, why? He's like drawing like a mustache on Marge on the monitor. Why?
And horns. Don't forget the horns.
And the horns. It's just very, like we see a little bit of the, I guess it ties into Burns kind of, he can be very cheap, I guess, can be very, you know, what's the word I'm thinking of? Not necessarily, like, I can't think of it. I cannot think of the word. I think you guys understand what I'm talking about. They go, Marge and Homer go to Lionel Hutz, for them to file a lawsuit for, you know, her being wrongly fired. He's drinking at 9:30 in the morning, but of course he hasn't slept for 2 days. So
it doesn't matter. You know, it's totally okay.
Yeah. Lionel Hutz and Marge and Homer march into Burns' office, and Lionel Hutz is full of, you know, vim and vigor, you know, declaring this an open shut case. And then Burns pulls out his 10 high-priced lawyers.
Mr. Burns, we've got witnesses, precedent, and a paper trail a mile long.
Yes, well, I have 10 high-priced lawyers.
He left his briefcase. Hey, it's full of shredded newspapers.
They don't have their lawyers gone, and they're left alone in his office with all these, with, you know, with the opposition. And they're about to leave, but Homer refuses.
Mr. Burns, I'm not leaving until you say you're sorry for what you did to my wife.
You love her too.
Damn right.
Homer, I want you to show this woman the time of her life.
Gotcha. Marge, we're getting some drive-through, then we're doing it twice.
No. I've got something even more special in mind.
And we cut to them at Burns Estate watching Tom Jones perform. Tom Jones has a like an ankle cuff on and a chain. He's chained to the stage, of course. He brings Marge in close and whispers, "Give me a hacksaw or call Interpol." Anything. But them singing "It's Not Unusual," the episode ends. It's a solid one. I
definitely is. It's really good. I just wanted to point out that come on, Homer, a drive through. At least you can do is get the lady a pizza. Jeez.
Well, you know, Homer, he's a romantic. It's not like I wouldn't say it's a great episode, like an all time great, but it's very good. It's a very good solid Simpsons episode. A lot of good gags. Very funny. The Smithers imagining Burns coming in through the window. You know, I always remember Willie fighting the wolf.
Yes, that might be one of the best parts. Between Grandpa taking care of the kids with his old-timey remedies and Willie fighting the wolf, it's not part of the main story, but it's just little gags in the background that they basically punched it up, essentially. It works really well, and it makes it more memorable than the main story. Because the main story, the only thing you really remember is Marge gets a job at the power plant, she does better than Homer, Burns notices her, fires her when he finds out she's married, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's not that interesting of a story, but they're able to punch it up with a little bit of background things that make it far more interesting.
Yeah. It's good. It's a good one. But we rank it at the end of the show, which is these are the types of that are even, I think, harder than, well, we'll see. Sometimes it seems like it's going to be hard, and then we go, oh, yeah, it's that number. It's right away. We're good. Moving on. Time for my favorite episode. No submissions for this one, but if you guys we have an episode coming up that is your favorite, please email us at simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com explaining why a particular episode is your favorite, and we will read it on air. Next segment is comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. alt.nerd.obsessive.
There's a few things this week. There's a big news release, I guess, what do they call that? A press release that week about that they're start releasing a lot more itchy and scratchy merch. I mean, that's fine. I guess people were getting inundated with just Simpsons in general. So they're like, let's stretch it out a little bit and start doing itchy and scratchy stuff. Although it's not like, I don't remember like merch from like the early days that was a lot of itchy and scratchy. I only remember like mostly Bart stuff, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, itchy and scratchy is one of the things that they pushed a little more then than they do now, just because it's very obvious who they are. Although nowadays, most of their merchandise tends to be, I feel like, centralized on the main family, because otherwise people who aren't huge Simpsons fans can still get a kick out of it. Otherwise, all the deep cut stuff, the itchy and scratchies and the side characters aren't as recognizable. So I think you saw a lot more of the itchy and scratchy stuff back then than you do now.
Yeah. I think it's just general. I mean, everything. There's merch for everything in pop culture now. It's not like, I think The Simpsons, we remember it so fond, like, we so remember all their merch so much because they were doing it from the beginning, back in the early 90s, where nowadays, if there's a pop culture thing, there's shirts and action figures and pop vinyls, like, anything there that exists, there's figures and toys and shirts and everything for it. One other thing, I think it's kind of interesting, one of the commenters had seen an early Simpsons in Japanese, they said the first season. Some notes from it. Bart calls Homer dad instead of Homer, although he uses the word oyaji. I apologize, I cannot speak Japanese at all, which translates closer to pop rather than dad or father. It's more informal. Male voices are quite good and similar to the originals, except Flanders, whose Japanese voice is gruff and low.
Weird.
Bart, Homer, Krusty all have good voices. Females, on the other hand, well, Marge is certainly different. She does have a strange voice. It's not bad. His biggest problem is with Lisa. Her voice is very sweet and high pitched. Like, it's not, does, I guess it doesn't sound smart or mature as your Lee Smith's voice. Translation is good. They don't subtitle the chalkboard gag, but they do subtitle signs like as cold pet cod platter to cold pet rat, things like that. So, that's about it. You guys can search for yourself if you want on alt.tv.simpsons. Old news group started very briefly after the beginning of the show. It's now archived on Google Groups, so you can find it there. Next up is our listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite fake movie from The Simpsons? And I was blown, like, I'd forgotten about a lot of these answers. You guys always do a great job sending in answers. First off, Twitter, we have Sean at SeanMac15. His answer, Radioactive Man, a movie that completely bankrupted his studio and didn't skimp on the acid or the goggles, is a must-see. Isaac at Isaac is a gooden. His answer, Man Getting Hit by Football, a true masterpiece. we have Manzildo at Manzildo M. I just came here to see Honk If You're Horny in Peace. We have Matt at Chalmy. McBain is awesome, but it has nothing on Editor in Chimp. We have John at Chopstyle 311. Road rage, death flips the finger, teaches a great lesson. So when you go out for a drive, remember to leave your murderous anger where it belongs, at home. Amanda at Drawn to Insanity, the Everyman movie and Homer the Whopper. Who wouldn't want to be Everyman? Sign me up for the fan club. We have Justin at Justin IFCIT. The Muppets Go Medieval. It's not quite a mup. It's not quite a puppet. Priscilla at Vask underscore Priscilla. The Poke of Zorro. Posh Spice as Wise Nun and Meryl Streep as Stupid Nun. Sounds like a good watch. onto her Facebook, we have Bobby. Gotta be Radioactive Man. Seeing the whole production is hilarious, even with Milhouse's reluctance. And it's Wolfcastle's breakout episode. My eyes, the goggles do nothing. We were just quoting that yesterday, weren't we, Matt?
Yep.
Elliot, the Christmas that almost wasn't, but then was, because I am you, and you are you.
Oh, God. Worst movie ever. I only saw parts of it.
Oh, come on. That's okay. I can't really argue too much with that. Ryan, this is really no contest if the series can be taken as a whole, but it has to be McBain. Burst having an ice sculpture while declaring ice to see you, only to accept drugged food from his nemesis and knocks him out. Skirming Mendoza at the top of his lungs after seeing Scowie mortally wounded, of course. McBain, let's get silly. My new movie is me standing in front of a brick wall for 90 minutes. It cost $80 million to make.
How do you sleep at night? On a pile of beautiful ladies surrounded by money. Or on a pile of money surrounded by beautiful ladies.
You flipped it. Jordan, there was this bus that was speeding around town, having to keep its speed above 60, and if its speed stopped, it would blow up. I think it was called the bus that couldn't slow down. Kevin, my vote is for the erotic adventures of Hercules, mainly because I have said Homercles cares not for beans to my wife way too many times. Somehow she puts up with it. And finally, we have John, me and you, Partners in Freedom, number 3, FO3, and the Resistance is Useless series. Now, Matt, what is your answer?
Okay, a couple things. One, I'm disappointed that none of you picked Too Many Grandmas. Because that's just a great one. We haven't got an episode yet, but we will. I really do. Radioactive Man holds a special place in my heart, but since I've been going back and watching the later seasons again, I have to go with the Everman episode that I believe Amanda talked about, because it's a great skewering of what happens to creators and especially stars when they're the physical demands. It's got a guest starring, I believe it's Seth Rogen, but it's a good guest starring role. He doesn't play himself. He plays like a douchebag trainer guy. And at the end, comic book guy actually keeps his dignity, and Homer is, you know, not quite the Hollywood hero he should be, and everything goes back to normal. It's actually a surprisingly good episode. If you haven't seen it in a while, I recommend everyone go see it.
You mentioned Radioactive Man. I have to go with Radioactive Man. I can't not. There's no wrong choices here. There's tons of great answers. Radioactive Man. That's one of my favorite episodes, and it's great. I love it. Radioactive Man. Sorry for not picking something creative, but Radioactive Man. It's an obvious
choice. Okay.
But...
It's okay. I'm not supposed to be the one that comes up with the weird one. You're supposed to be the one that depicts the you know, one that everyone actually really likes.
There's other people who like it, man. But yeah. Next week's question: what is your favorite episode with Marge in the title? There's a lot of them. I was looking through. I'm like, is there? Oh yeah, there's plenty. There's a lot of episodes with Marge in the title, and a lot of very good ones. I we'll see where it goes. I have a feeling. I think I know where most people are going to go, but I'm usually wrong with those feelings. you can find this question. I'll post it to our social media. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. Like us there. I post Simpsons stuff. All of our social media. I try, you know, tweet and post interesting things on Facebook, Twitter. It's at Simpsons Show Pod. I'm going to start doing little giveaways. I did one on Twitter this week. I think I'm going to do Facebook next week. You guys keep an eye out for that stuff. You know, liven it up a little bit. And you can email us, of course, at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Next up, it is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
New Google Trivia Challenges, where Matt and I will challenge each other with 3 questions each, one easy, one medium, one hard, and try and stump the other. Matt, I think you went first last week. I'm going to go first. How about that?
Okay.
Okay. This week's theme is family vacations. I believe it was submitted by Brady on Twitter. Why do I always forget that? Mm-hmm. Why can't I remember things, Matt?
Because you're a crazy person?
I don't think that's why. I mean, it's probably not wrong, but I don't think that's why I forget these things sometimes. Yes, from Brady. I was right. I shouldn't trust my first instinct. Wow. My first question to you is, why do the Simpsons go to Australia?
Oh, that's because Bart made a collect call to Australia for several hours when attempting to figure out what way their toilets spun.
You could have just said, for Bart's apology to Australia, but that is also acceptable, Matt. That is technically correct, the best kind of correct.
Exactly. All right, your easy question. Name one country the Simpsons have visited on vacation, besides Australia, since you already said it.
Oh, Japan.
That is correct. The ones I also remembered off the top of my head were Brazil and England, also several countries in Africa. They've been to Italy, they've been to, Jerusalem, which I guess is Israel, technically a country, China. Can you think of any more? I'm sure there's lots.
Mexico.
Oh, yeah, the Tijuana, from Camp Crusty. Yeah. Anyway, so there's lots of them. If you guys have a favorite, please write in and let us know. Anyway, your turn.
What shape are watermelons in Japan?
They try to make them cube, but they're really more rectangular prisms.
Again, you could have just said cube, that'd been fine. But yeah, yes, you're correct, Matt.
Because they are. They actually do. There's a special place where they grow them like that. It's very odd, and they're very expensive.
Yes, because they look funny.
Exactly. All right. Your question. What does Homer try to smuggle on the way to Itchy and Scratchy Land? On the way to Itchy and Scratchy Land. They pass through a checkpoint, and Homer tries to smuggle something through.
Oh, I can't remember.
There's even a pamphlet, The Easy Guide to...
I can't remember. I should know this. I've seen that so many times. I don't remember.
All right. Fruits and veggies.
That's it. Oh,
it's a fruits and vegetable checkpoint. The whole trunk's full of a Marge.
I've completely blanked. Okay, Matt. Your hard question.
Okay.
What is the name of the town and its nickname the Simpsons visit in the summer of 4'2"?
Little Pogmatasquam Setport, America's Scrod Basket. And Springfield is apparently America's crud bucket, which there was a little confusion there at the beginning.
That is true. I'm amazed you got all that in one go.
That is very high in the top of my favorite episodes of all time. It's probably top 10.
Yeah, it's a great one. It's a mouthful. It's not easy to say. Give me a hard one. Maybe I can redeem myself. Let's see.
All right. This is a pretty tough one. It's from a later season, so I'm a little worried for you, but what is the name of the Simpsons tour guide on their African safari?
Oh.
If it helps, he later becomes the president of the country they're in.
It does not help.
Okay.
I don't know. It's on the tip of my tongue. I cannot remember, though.
I figure this is actually one of the better ones. Katenge.
Okay. Yeah, I could not remember. I wasn't going to guess, because I would not probably get close at all. Okay, so I'm terrible. Matt's a genius. I have a few good amount of questions from our listeners. I welcome you guys. Please keep sending them in. We go through them pretty quick. This is from Joanna. Last episode we did Lisa the episodes. This is Bart the episodes. Matt, I want you to complete. God. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Bart the blank episode titles. I want you to name all 7.
God, I said I was going to study, but I didn't. I'm a terrible student. Well, let's start out with Bart the Murderer, Bart the Mother.
Okay.
Bart the... As you can tell, getting me to recall, episode titles is not...
We've done most of these, honestly.
Really?
The majority of them are in the early seasons.
That's true.
We've done all but two, and you've already named one of the two we haven't done.
Yeah. So Bart the Mother, Bart the General, Bart the Murderer. Oh God. Come on, I gotta get over 50% here. I honestly can't remember. I'm not gonna waste everyone's time. That's all I can pull off the top of my head.
Okay, the four you got: Bart the General, Bart the Murderer, and Bart the Mother. The four you did not get: Bart the Genius.
Oh man, season one.
Bart the Daredevil. Bart the Lover, and Bart the Fink.
Bart the Fink. Oh, man. Okay, fair enough. You got me. You guys found my weakness, naming episodes the drop of a hat.
So I have a couple more questions. These are both from Izzy. In Wedding for Disaster, what are the causes for Homer and Marge to get remarried?
In which episode?
Wedding for Disaster.
Wedding for Disaster.
It's a later one.
Yeah, that's like season 20 or 19 or 20, something like that. I just watched it. What are the reasons for them to get remarried?
Yeah, if you just watched it, Matt, you should know.
I should. I have no idea. The only part I remember is the craziness of that episode.
You remember that in A Milhouse Divided, they got Homer officially filed for divorce.
Oh, that's right. I remember now. Is because Reverend Lovejoy's renewal check had not cleared yet. So officially, when he remarried them, he was not a minister. So they have to do it again.
Correct. There you go.
There we go. Thank you. I appreciate the hint.
Yes. Here's a deep cut question that is about the same episode. This is he even titled this hard question? I don't think you're gonna
thank
get
you,
this,
Izzy.
But we'll find out. Maybe you'll know. In the June 28th, 2009 rerun of Wedding for Disaster, a brief alternate opening was used. What was the opening and why was it changed to include it?
I have no idea of that one.
It's a deep cut. The date is the biggest hint, although it's not a great hint even then. June 28th, 2009. You don't know this man. They included the music video for "Do the Bartman" and a brief memorial to Michael Jackson, who had died 3 days previously.
Oh, okay. Wow. It was in 2009 when he died.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Oh,
been a while.
Thank you, Izzy. Happy anniversary. Thanks for stumping me. Now I look stupid.
Well, stupider.
That's true. I was pretty stupid on this show.
Well, you know, it's a hallmark. We have to have something.
That's true.
Looking dumb is, you know, it's as good as anything.
We look the dumbest.
Yeah. So, again, you guys can submit either themes or trivia to, you know, all our social media, and I will try and include them if I don't forget or lose things, which I sometimes do because I'm, you know, not the best at keeping track of all this stuff. It's time for our final segment, Matt. It's time for the segment we end every episode with. It's time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is the part show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically so we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where does this one go, Matthew?
This is a tough one.
I want to say I'd put it in, like, let's see, probably... is it better than... It's a Marge-ish episode. Is it better than Brush with Greatness?
No, definitely not. I think Brush with Greatness is much better.
Is it better than Saturdays of Thunder?
No, I wouldn't put it any better than that either.
How about Lisa the Beauty Queen?
No.
No? Okay, I'm jumping down. I'll jump down a little bit. Flaming Moe's. Is it better than Flaming Moe's?
No, definitely not as good as Flaming Moe's. I would probably... It's down very power plant focused. Yeah, so I'm looking somewhere around... probably... I would put it just better than Radio Bart. It's a little more tight. It's got some great jokes in it, that sort of thing. But it's right around Radio Bart and Bart the Lover, I think.
All right, I was prepared to put it a little higher than that, but I'm all right. I don't really have super strong feelings about this one.
Exactly.
But it's not a hard hitter, and it's nothing in it that is, you know, so brilliant that it makes you, like, you know. It's a solid, good, but not great episode. That's fine. So number 26, we can put it there.
It's one of those episodes that would fit really well with the current seasons. You know, it's a good Simpsons episode. There's a lot of gags. There's nothing like that particularly makes it stand out as one of the great episodes.
I wouldn't go that far, Matt.
I'm telling you, they get much better. I've been rewatching them, and right around season 20, you can tell they started pushing harder on it.
I've watched some more recent episodes lately, and they're fine. But I don't know. We can.
Okay.
I'm not marathoning them like you, so maybe you're more well learned in this regard. But new to number 26, Marge gets a job. Right above Radio Bart, right below Bart the Lover. Lisa Substitute still number one, although it's some tough competition coming up soon. Homer's Odyssey still last place, number 66 now. But who knows? Marge vs. the Monorail might knock Homer's Odyssey off the bottom of the list, right?
Yeah, definitely. The bottom, uh-huh.
You can find this list on our website, which is simply thesimpsonsshow.com. You find everything there, new episodes. You can find everything there, new episodes, you know, links to all our social media, all that stuff. And you can donate to the show, which we, of course, appreciate. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Mixmaster Cheryl. That's MixmasterCreal. And please check out my comic book podcast. It's Handsome Boys Comics Hour, available where all fine podcasts are sold for free. Right. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
That's true. I'm always working. I've got about 7 jobs right now. So, you know, if you're out and about at a retail establishment, you might find me. So just, you know, ask random Simpsons-related questions to everyone you meet, and it might be me.
I wouldn't necessarily advise that. But I think we call it a day. I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
Keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.